You're listening to Red Eye on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO, at 102.7 FM.
A place to live is considered a basic human right. Some place to stay warm in cold weather, to sleep when tired, to read Jane Austen and enjoy a pot of tea. But how many places are available to residents in the downtown East Side, and at what price, are some of the questions being asked and answered in a new report by the Carnegie Community Action Project, Still Losing Hotel Rooms. Wendy Peterson is a community activist with the CCAP and co-author of the report, and she joins me in the studio. Hello, Wendy.
Hello.
Now, some people think that the housing situation is getting better. Is it getting better?
Oh my gosh. Where did that come from? No, in the downtown East Side where I live and have been studying the housing situation, it's getting much worse. In fact, in the last year, we lost a quarter of the housing stock of the hotel rooms, the residential hotel rooms, to rent increases beyond what people on welfare can afford. In total, in the downtown East Side, we have 5,000 rooms. It's a lot of places. They're temporary homes. They're the last stop before homelessness. Well, imagine now that in total, half of those rooms are lost now to rent increases just recently. And those rent increases are substantial. A person on welfare has $375 a month to spend on rent. And that rent goes directly to the landlord. You don't see it. Well, if your rent is now $425 or higher, that means you're taking $50 out of your precious food money, and you only get close to about $200 for that. You're taking $50, and you have to give that to the landlord. And sometimes it's more. We have a weekly meeting at the Carnegie Action Project for people that are out living outside or in shelters or in hotels or in social housing. And at the last meeting on Friday, there was one of the guys said, "Hey, you know, I'm living at the Holborn Hotel. You know how much the rents are there now? It's between $500 and $550 a month." And this is for a single room, 10 by 10, no bathroom, no kitchen, often crappy management, pests, you know, all the pets you could ever want. And so it's not an ideal situation for people at all.
And where are these people going?
Well, I think when people are thinking about why they see people that are homeless or why the emergency shelters are needed around the city, they need to know that it's not about addiction and it's not about mental illness. It's about our housing supply. We can't house people. We're losing the last housing before homelessness. That's the SROs. That was always the cheapest housing in the city. It's kind of the housing of last resort. And now it's upscaling. We call it a slow conversion. That's the technical planning term. So our stock is slowly converting out of reach. And actually, maybe it's not so slowly converting. Our research shows that it's quickly converting. And if we keep going at the rate that we're going of housing loss in the hotels, by 2012, there will be no hotels available to people at welfare rates.
And you've given us you've talked a little bit about the rent increases. Can you get into a little bit more detail? What sort of rents are being asked, and for what sort of rooms?
Well, typically $375 is what they used to and always were, and now a landlord can get $425. That seems to be the average and up for their rooms. So like across the street here from Co-op Radio is the Columbia Hotel. Mm-hmm. It's renting for $800 a month for a single room, and their advertising on the website is an international place, so they do rent out daily, weekly. So that slowly landlords are finding ways to tap into this market. It's a landlord's market. It isn't a renter's market. And we're slowly losing our housing. It's going out of reach. In fact, another thing we found in the report, we found in the research, was there's a number of hotels now that are double bunking. Mm-hmm. So say if you're on welfare, if you want to pay only $375 a month, you can choose to double bunk and with a stranger. So you each pay $375. So the landlord's getting $750 a month for that one room. And we found last year when we did the research, we found four hotels doing that. This year we found 16. So it's gone up. And in fact, Jenny Kwan just sent out a press release because she read the research, her office, and she said, you know what, we could have an epidemic very easily because people are crammed into very tiny spaces with, you know, suppressed immune systems. And, you know, we need to get onto the housing replacement.
What are guest fees?
Guest fees are what the managers at the front desk often charge a person for bringing somebody to visit. And that's because they don't want people to double bunk without gouging them. So if you want to bring your friend home for the night, if they need or just even a friend, you can't unless, in some hotels, unless you pay $20 or $5. It's really hard if you have a family. And it's really hard to have maintain your connections with your family that way, and it creates a lot of isolation, which is something to avoid. They're illegal, and it's really hard to police. So you can take it to the residential tenancy branch if you've got a receipt for your guest fee, but sometimes the guest fee is done with a bat. It's like, pay me or you can't go upstairs, buddy. Uh-huh. They're not going to sign a receipt for your guest fee. So that's happening, which is really crappy. And another thing is the city of Vancouver, they have some powers. They could help out with this. What they need to do is speed up a replacement plan. So they could say, you know what, every year we're going to build 500 units of social housing. At least we're going to put up the land, you know, and challenge Minister Coleman and the federal government to build these projects. But we're going to put up the land to replace these units. And they have agreed to replace them in 2005. They have a Downtown Eastside housing plan that says we will replace the hotels one for one. But we calculated how quickly they're succeeding at the replacement plan. And at the rate they're going now, it'll take them, guess how many years?
No idea.
10, 20, no, 53 years. That's how long it'll take before we see any improvement in people's lives in the Downtown East Side at the rate we're going for housing replacement. So that's one way that we could help the situation is to, you know, provide more social housing, but that's not happening. Mm-hmm. So what's going to happen? More and more people out on the street.
Mm-hmm. Now, in your report, you write that single-room occupancy spaces, which are basically hotel rooms, must be retained as a housing of last resort. What's your vision for these rooms?
Well, I think they could always... the province bought a huge number of them, like one-fifth of the housing stock is now secured by a government. And they're good transitional homes, but ultimately they should be replaced. It's not a home. Living in a 10 by 10 space with no bathroom and no kitchen, it feels temporary. Mm-hmm. And if you want to put down roots and deal with your shit, then you need to have a place that's your own. You need your own kitchen, your own bathroom. It needs to feel permanent. And then you can be part of a community. You can you're out of survival mode. But as long as you're living in a hotel, you're in survival mode. And I think if people really care about improving society's overall health, they need to look at the health of the people that are living in these places and do justice, you know, to them and replace those homes. Those old hotel rooms, they were built for resource workers. They were always meant to be temporary, and now they're becoming permanent. So what was once temporary is now permanent, but it's substandard.
And now we're losing even that.
And we're losing even that. Woodward's, when it opens up, there'll be 1,000 students at Woodward's at the Fine Arts School every day, and we've talked to them already about our worry that students will be wanting to rent out these rooms. And we can see it already happening. And there are some hotels that rent only to students already. So we're worried that the Downtown East Side is not just about drug users. There's a huge community here, and the founding communities will be displaced. The Aboriginal people, the Chinese people, the working class, and the poor people that have a culture that's valid and amazing, creative, wonderful. There's wonderful elements and assets in this neighborhood that are going to be destroyed. And it's because when you take away the people, that's it. The culture's gone. We'll have some plaques here in the Downtown East Side, though, right? I was just going through on the seawall, and I saw there was a nice plaque about some kind of old mill. And I thought, oh yeah, that's what it'll be like in the downtown east side. Nice, shiny, glossy, nice, big, fancy boats and apartments, and some nice plaques for what we used to be here, you know, our history here.
Now, there are suggestions that owners of these buildings turn the management of the room over to nonprofit organizations. How would that work exactly?
Well, we're pushing for this called, it's called third-party management. So hotels like that are run by the slumlords, maybe the city council could put in some kind of rule where they're going to lose their hotel unless they turn it over to a nonprofit management. And that would help, because the first thing that would happen is the nonprofits would put the rents rate back down to $375. They'd have two staff on. They'd have, you know, start fixing it up. They'd look for resources to keep the pest control and all that. And, you know, that would help. So that's one sort of small baby step, but it's only a holding measure. That's only a holding measure because the ultimate is to have them replaced. We need decent social housing built in this neighborhood and everywhere else in the city. Everywhere in the city should have 30% social housing, and we need more in the downtown east side because we're a historic low-income neighborhood. We've always been low-income. Our culture, everything good about our neighborhood is because of the low-income community, so we need to preserve that.
I understand you had to be a little bit creative to put this report together. Is that right?
It's true. We did the same process as last year. We went around in disguise as renters. It was quite fun. I had to wear a toque. But I usually stood outside the door, and my native friends would go in and try to rent a room. And they'd come back in with the dope, and they'd tell me what was happening inside. And I'd say, well, go back and ask them this. And we tried to be sleuths. Basically, we were sleuths, and it was fun. And we visited, I think, around 88 hotels, and we got 91% data. So we on the 88 hotels that we visited. So that's pretty high data. I don't think other surveyors get that kind of data. So we were really proud of ourselves, and so we know the information in this report is really solid.
Thanks very much for coming in and talking to us today,
okay.
Wendy.
You're welcome.
We've been speaking with Wendy Peterson. She's a community activist with the Carnegie Community Action Project and the co-author of the report, Still Losing Hotel Rooms. A copy of the report and more information about the CCAP can be found at its website, ccapvancouver.wordpress.com.